You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
Composed by a man named Justin Hurwitz, and it was on the soundtrack for Whiplash, the movie Whiplash. If you haven't seen it, you should really see it, especially if you're a musician. You should watch the movie Whiplash, especially if you're a drummer. You should watch the movie Whiplash. But in either case, I love this song. It's way too short. It's only 2 minutes long, but I love this song just because it tells such a great story. Now, it's entitled Casey's Song, but what do you take away from this? It just sounds like a song you'd write for a girl that you had wild, crazy memories with. It didn't end up too well. Obviously, you guys went your separate ways, but years later, you get to look back with just a real, like, man, oh man, was that nuts. But in a good way, not in a catfish type of way. I think it's a nice, wistful song. You know what I mean? I know Matt likes it. Well, in either case, the New York Yankees are in Boston, Massachusetts tonight, playing at Fenway Park, the second oldest stadium in the major leagues. Isn't that correct? Wrigley's 1908. They're 19. No, Wrigley Field's 1908. Hold on a second. Wrigley Field opened. Wait a second. What? No. This is saying opened April 23rd, 1914.
That might be right.
So then, is Fenway Park the oldest? Because I believe that's 1912. Isn't it 1912? I was pretty sure that it was the year the Titanic sank. I remember that was my association. Hold on. Fenway Park opening. 1912. After extensive construction in the early months of 1912, Fenway Park hosted its first game on April 9th, 1912. That is 6 days. 5 days before the Titanic sank. Damn. There were probably a couple of people that were planning on catching a Red Sox game at Fenway Park that were coming over on the Titanic. Who knows? That could be something. And you know the thing that sucks? There's no way to go investigative journal. You can't go all investigative journalist on that one. How do you find out? Never. Because it probably would have been some of the people in steerage. And almost all of them were drowned. They didn't get lifeboat treatment. Third-class passengers. You know, you think about it. You think about historically where the poor have definitely been dicked over. The Titanic poor, that's for damn sure. Poor Jack. Jack Dawson went and won those tickets. And he died. He won those tickets in a game of cards. That's it. And he ended up drowning. The selfish bitch that wouldn't share the wouldn't share the debris with him. There's more than enough room. It's the first thing we all noticed when we saw Titanic for the first time in 1997. It's the first thing we all noticed in the theater. There is clearly enough room on this piece of wood that he can share it with Rose. Clearly enough. Hold on. You got to get on the other microphone. That one sucks.
A real man would have survived.
A real man would have survived. You know how cold the Atlantic is? Actually, the cook...
Navy SEAL would survive.
I don't know, dude.
They're trained for that.
They're trained for that? They probably have wetsuits on and all that. Yeah,
SEALs.
With wetsuits. You're talking about April in the North Atlantic with nothing but your pajamas on?
Well, global warming, April in North Atlantic, it's probably fine now. No one would freeze to death.
Yeah, but we're talking about 1912.
Yeah, I know. That's when there was an ice age,
we understand,
apparently.
Listen, no, do you know that there... That since 2005, or whenever Al Gore started up with the whole Inconvenient Truth shit, since then, when we became hyper aware of global warming, it's a known fact that nobody has ever drowned froze to death in the ocean since. And people are up in arms about this. Because if the sea was healthy, then these people would still be alive. No, if the sea was healthy, they'd be dead. You see? So global warming has taken such a toll that the oceans are so warm, nobody has froze to death on the high seas since 2005-ish.
That's a damn shame. Only real men go out like that.
Yeah, we have to make sure that people die in the ocean again. Unbelievable. And not only that, but nobody has drowned in the ocean since 2005 because there's so much garbage in the ocean that it's impossible to sink to the bottom anymore.
You see what happens to all the garbage in the ocean?
It pools together.
There's a patch, but there's this island where a bunch of garbage, like bottle caps and shit, they wash up. And I guess from being in the ocean so long, they look like fucking colorful rocks and glass rocks and shit.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it is, man. It's one man's garbage, another man's treasure.
One man's garbage. Oh, my God. Well, well, either case. You know, I tell you, I was reading this one article here, which is pretty funny. I think Matt's going to get a kick out of this one, too. This is from the Daily Mail. I like this stuff from the Daily Mail. It's kind of, like, funny,
Why
but it's also
can't
odd.
Why can't it be the Daily Female? The fuck? I'm going to write to them.
Yo, last night's episode was the first episode that I listened back to, and I couldn't tell you when. Last night's episode really cleansed me. Did you have fun for that one?
That's funny, yeah.
Because
read
I
more
didn't,
of those lists. Like that.
I didn't realize that your microphone was off the whole time. And as I'm going through this stuff, and I realize it's taking forever for me to get through a top 10 sexist things that happened at the Olympics so far list, it was taking me forever. I wanted to quit at like 5, but the only reason why I kept going was because I saw you every time. I felt like I was going to stop. You put your hand up like, keep going. Keep going. Please, keep going. It's like, oh, all right. I kept getting second wins. See, that's what happens.
I just got my third win.
The class clown, they don't want to fucking do it anymore if they're not getting reaction from people. If I'm in a room by myself, I get depressed. I say, forget about it. Just forget about it. Who the hell even cares? Speaking of depression, listen to this. All U.S. adults should be screened for depression. A woman's mental health and women's mental health assessed before and after childbirth, experts claim. U.S. government task force says all adults must be screened for depression. Get that? The U.S. government task force says they're starting to plant the seeds of necessity that everybody should be screened by unelected bureaucratic medical hacks. For what reason? so that we can arbitrarily be deemed unfit for certain activities and certain liberties. You take your pick, whether it be traveling, defending yourself with a firearm, you name it. You know, this is already scary. That's why people say, oh, the Constitution, stop talking about the Constitution, stop talking about the Constitution. It's like, now, the Constitution is not a yellowed piece of paper, you asshole. It is a philosophical document. There's philosophy buried in the Constitution, all types of it. Philosophy way too deep for the common person to even consider when you consider what the average fifth grader, what kind of tests the average fifth grader was taking in the 19th century. My God. Everybody likes to make fun of our ancestors as if they were old codgers that never had a clue. And when you really study history and you go into the philosophy behind history, especially when you're considering the idea of liberty, individual liberty, and a society, a societal structure that actually allows a people to be fairly free. Fairly free. In the most minimalist ways of government interference. So, when you go into that, oh my God. Listen, yeah, fashion changes, and the farther and farther you are away from a fashion trend, all of a sudden you're the odd man out. You think so? You know, we like to make fun of people, you know, the way they dressed in the 18th century and all that shit with the frills and the knickers and all that, you know, that went into the 19th century. But you think about people, the way that they were dressing a couple of years ago, what the gimmicks of the time was. Oh, my God. If you were to do any of that stuff in front of a camera these days, everybody would think you were much of a loser as Benjamin Disraeli.
What? Are you talking about, like, all the clothes people wear now, like those stupid...
Yeah. I'm just talking about, you know, there's many reasons why people think that the older generations, especially the founding generations and the generations that came up and really became pronounced in history... During the time of the Enlightenment, even as far back as the Renaissance.
Dude, they're dressed in all silk shit. They're fucking look better than...
Right. But you're missing the point. It's a new, very nuanced point I'm making here. I'm saying there's many reasons why hip people in the 21st century, or especially people who can exploit the past as being lame and being not well thought out and being prejudiced and being, you know, in poor fashion taste, if you are in a political position or in a position to get a word out to a generation and try to change them and shift them politically, like we see going on the radicalization around the country right now with this far left cultural Marxist bullshit that's going on all the time. To denounce and to disfigure the past as being something that should not be looked toward for any number of reasons, whether they be, you know, like a principal reason, like they're some kind of a racist stance, they were racist, you want to go and attack the flaws, the real character flaws of a person, you know, many centuries ago. But even things as trivial as making it seem like, look, they even dressed like idiots. Because, of course, all you're looking at anything from is this warped 21st century manipulative bullshit whiny baby somebody should have hugged you a little bit more as a child standpoint, you know? That's the thing that gets me. And all those philosophy that they talked about, especially about liberty, here we are, man. U.S. government task force say all adults must be screened for depression. These were men and women who were ready to kill. Who were ready to kill because they knew what freedom and what tyranny was. They were living it. They're living it all out, man. And when reasoning and petitions didn't do anything... It eventually came to fisticuffs. That's it. You think that it was a powder keg situation in 1776, 1775, I mean? April 1775? No, man. That was a big, big buildup. Tons of petitioning. people wanting, fighting for representation and say on what the hell they were going to be taxed and how they were going to be working, whether or not they'd be able to defend themselves, confiscation of firearms, a lot of things happened, man. The quartering of soldiers, that was a big reason. I mean, that it's gigantic. That's something that we laugh at. We're like, oh, quartering of soldiers. There's a reason why it was put in there third. Okay, right behind the ability to speak freely and defend yourself, your private property, and your family, most importantly. That's it. It came third after the rights to speak your mind, think freely, and worship freely, and defend your very life. So you want to talk about the level of importance? Then there you go. You want to laugh at it and say it's lame. Well, why is it lame? Well, because we have never experienced it like they did. So how can you ever cast judgment on the importance of that? We've never had to quarter troops yet. Well, at least not something I... Who knows? Who knows what happens there? Who knows, man? A lot of scary things happened in Boston. You want to talk about Boston, the Boston Tea Party. You want to talk about Lexington and Concord and Massachusetts. You want to talk about 1775? A lot of scary shit happened during the Boston Marathon bombing. Okay, now, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there about what happened, what didn't happen, crisis actors, the bombers were planted, people knew it was allowed to happen. Whatever the conspiracy theories are, the main thing that... Get away from the who, what, where, why, when. The trial went on, the kid is being sent, has been sentenced, one brother's dead, pressure cookers. We understand everything that they're saying. But imagine, for a second, what was done to the city of Boston when... All that was on the run was a 17-year-old, all alone, brother just been killed, a 17-year-old that set off a pressure cooker bomb. What was he running? Was he running around with a radio flyer with more pressure cookers? A radio flyer wagon full of pressure cookers ready to go off? You know, what was it about this 17-year-old that the metropolis was shut down? That people were put in their homes. People were actually pulled out of their homes. People were treated like they were terrorists. And then what do you know? Only until the lockdown and the curfew was lifted did a citizen find the Tsarnaev brother, whatever his name was, hiding in a boat in his backyard. So there's your police state right there. Locked down an entire metropolis. And then only until they backed off, we found the terrorist. Only until government backed off, we found the terrorist. It's just like, it's ridiculous. Depression is one of the leading causes of disability. The Daily Mail says, oh shit, I didn't put the Skype on. No, we did. Sorry, I did. Mike did. There you go. So it's on. You can call in whenever you want. Obviously, this is going to take a little bit more. By screening all adults over 18, depression can be diagnosed earlier. Oh, boy. An earlier diagnosis leads to earlier treatment, the panel says. One flew over the cuckoo's nest. Here we all come. Here we all come. What do you think about that? And here's another thing I wanted to bring up. I want to take this slant on it. Because when I had reblogged this, when I first come by this article, here were my first thoughts. And I write them down. Everything I do on social media is taking notes for the show. So I like reading them verbatim because that's exactly what I was thinking at the time. So I said, sounds about right. So state media, their government operatives, and the financiers of social unrest, namely George Soros and the likes, destroy every semblance of peace and unity, the feelings of peace and unity at least, and economic prosperity by all these regulations. I just read the hundreds of regulations that Barack Obama has put into law or are put into place has already cost $743 billion. I'll get that up. So it pretty much costs everybody about $2,200 a month or year. Sorry. I got to get that up. So you think about all the finance, the economic instability, the high unemployment rate, the workforce numbers that are just abysmal. The healthcare problems that we're having now for big time. Obamacare is about to melt down. ACA is a failure from the get-go. And, I mean, there's no other way to put it. I mean, then what do you think it's going to do with all these private insurance companies getting out? What this is going to do is, this is going to say, because you know that as the old saying, that when the plan fails, the planners continue planning. Something like that. And, of course, it's not going to be an admitted defeat. It's going to be a push for more. So, just like the League of Nations became the UN, Obamacare, this mixed economy of insurance carriers, both government and private, that is getting unsustainable, is just going to be introduced for something a little bit more sweeping. Medicare for all. And an abolition of private practice, or at least a big blow to it. That's just what's coming, because it's not moderate. There is no moderation. People say things when people say that they're taking common sense steps. You know now what they mean. It means we're trying to disarm you with how slow we're moving, but we're taking everything. When it comes to guns, we want guns to be gone. They're taking their masks off now. We've heard the hidden camera stuff from DNC and Hillary operatives. We know what Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama think about that stuff. It's just, we know it because the people on the ground are saying it too. They want guns abolished. But when they put on their community face and they have really, really well-balanced debates and they do their thing and they lay their very reasonable, calm, common commentary down on the TV, what are they doing? They're talking common sense. We just want to if we can just reduce these deaths by just a little bit more, we're not taking your guns away from you. But on the other hand, did you really need an AR-15 to go turkey shooting? I mean, they do leave those little seeds for you, so that the next conversation we have after the next shooting in the gun-free zone that we have, they come out again and they say, "Well, we need just a little bit more. We need to know. We need everybody on a terrorist watch list and a no-fly list, which are lists that are completely arbitrary, that are done on that are managed under cloak and dagger." And the ability to get yourself off of one if you are on there for reasons that are beyond your, you know, beyond what you've actually done that are, you know, wrong. I mean, there's no way to get out of this web. Now, here's the question, and I haven't even finished my thoughts over here. But here's the question I want to know. Because I know people to be... especially my progressive friends. Now, we may have to just cut conversations short for the sake of both of our sanities, certain conversations short when we're hanging out. But on the other hand, I really do genuinely think that they're good people. And I know their intentions on the ground are good intentions. But what's really been, you know... But I don't know why they can't see where that stuff gets really sticky. And whereas the bigger it grows, the worse it gets. So how can the cure be more? Even if it's just more of a certain way of thinking, and which it really all comes down to, because of this, in this ridiculous system of electing people and voting where we're going. You know, and I call it ridiculous because if people are thinking in a certain way, And the way that they've been trained more and more to think is limited government is bullshit, individual freedom is nothing in comparison to being taken care of, and a false sense of security, and even at the, you know, I think people are so afraid now to feel pain. We're talking about this a couple times over the last week now. I think people are so afraid now of feeling pain that they would actually take, you know, being taxed as something as ridiculous as 90%, because they believe it's the right thing to do, and as long as they still have some stake in it, in the benefits, then you know, I can live with 10. I can live with 10%. But at that time, you're living in a YMCA, $50 a month, so you can have a cot. You get to cast the ball in a lottery to see if you get a cot that night. That's really slippery slope, Frank. Well, yeah, well, so what? This is my show. We're doing slippery slope tonight. But we're living at the bottom. I mean, we're like three quarters of the way down the slope, if you think about it. If anybody could have thought about the worst things that could be happening to society, both mentally, economically, personal freedom wise, all that stuff. If you're going to go back 20 years and think slippery slope from where society was 20 years, we'd have to go into depth and actually examine society 20 years ago to do this properly. But you'd have to imagine. You have to imagine there'd be some stark differences. I would hazard a guess that of all the things you could have done slippery slope shit with 20 years ago, 75% of it has already come true. Do you think that I am exaggerating that number? Do you think it's more or do you think it's less? Call in and please tell me. Zen Live TV. I think I posed some pretty decent questions. Why doesn't anybody call me? Call me up. But it's all right. It's okay. It's all good. I'm having a good time. But let's get back to the rest of my thing here, because it ties in once again. Social unrest. Okay, so let me just say, let's go from the beginning. It's a short statement. Sounds about right. So state media, their government operatives, and the financiers of social unrest, namely people like George Soros, destroy every semblance of peace and unity and economic prosperity, and then we start hearing suggestions to screen us, the people that they've depressed, for depression. I wonder what lists we'll all be put on then. You think about that. Government and the owned media, the owned operated media, they're all lobbyists. They're all lobbyists. You say, okay, well we understand, you know, you can say they're all oligarchs. Yes, just another word for lobbyists. And even if you have trouble pinning them to any one organization that they're lobbying for, you don't even have to point to organizations all the time. These are lobbyists for an ideology. And just like any free people should not have to buy and be forced to take anything from a government, in this type of sense, where they're involved in every aspect of their lives now. Just like people shouldn't be forced to take on that, and they shouldn't be forced to have to buy into an ideology. The way that politics is run right now, and the way that the political arena is looking right now, it is borderline. Well, it is a First Amendment infringement in many ways, especially when the ideology that's being pushed actually preaches against free and open thought. We're going to see a lot of hate speech developments start up soon. We got to really buckle down, get ready for one hell of a battle as far as being able to tell somebody when they're wrong, taking what you get back, and do not stand down and do not stop speaking your mind. Got to buckle down here. Are they cheering at A-Rod? Oh my God! Oh my God! The Yes Network just put on TV right now at the Yankees Red Sox game, because A-Rod is batting right now. This is his second to last appearance in a Yankees uniform, and people are saying their goodbyes to him. He wanted to play one more time in Boston as well, and they're panning around to the crowd, because obviously every time he comes up to bat, he's going to, people are going to be saying goodbye, cheering him, you know, taunting him and holding up signs. I just saw somebody say, you know, thanks, A-Rod, thank you for the memories. And there was a picture of A-Rod and Jason Varitek having that fist fight where, you know, they're pushing at each other's faces and stuff. I thought that's funny. And, you know, at this point, you got to just, you got to laugh. But they panned to one fan in the stands at Fenway Park who was holding up a sign that said, A-Rod shot Harambe, the gorilla. I can't believe they let that on. Somebody has got to get a screenshot of that. Oh, my God. A-Rod shot Harambe. Oh, can we rewind TV? Ask Mike if there's a rewind option on this. Damn, that thunder. But it's humid. It's humid as fuck outside. We've got to get a screenshot of that. A-Rod shot Harambe. What an amazing fan. I want to hang out with that guy. He's probably a Red Sox creep. But I'll have a beer with him. And I don't even like drinking beer. Okay. I forgot where I was tying up thoughts. But in either case, it's 7:31. We crammed a lot of thoughts into 30 minutes, man. Holy shit. My God. Well, see, they're clapping them. I'm sorry. I just gave you guys too much dead air. So, guys, call in. I want to know. You can answer a couple things. You can either comment on the whole way of the line of thinking where isn't it funny how government, the way it's peddled. Oh, I was going to say that it's almost a infringement of First Amendment rights on a religious level because this is very, very much a religion. The left ideology is very much a religion. They have sacrificial lambs and everything. It's really they have martyrs and there's crying and lots of crying. You know, I know there's a lot of crying in religion. There's always somebody crying. Somebody's feeling it. Oh, somebody's always feeling the spirit. So you can call in on that, how the government is actually part of the machine that depresses us, and then to go and say, we need to screen everybody for depression, when they've already been complicit in the social ruin and the economic ruin and the philosophical ruin of the country. And the balls, the willingness to compete, work hard, and fight. The willingness to compete, work hard, fight, and being proud of where you come from. And you don't have to say, oh, I'm an American. And when you think in your head, when you say I'm American, what do you think of? You think of the actual geographical shape of America. And what the fuck does that mean? I'm American. You think of the flag? No. You being American or you being whatever, that is the philosophical founding upon what the country was supposed to be. Freedom. And if you have a basis in that, and where it was born, and where it started, then that is the American that I like to consider myself. I'm not one of the American flag shorts people. I have two pairs of American flag shorts. But you know what I mean? Like the ridiculous, rah-rah, shallow American thing, you know, where they only go so far with it and it's more of a gimmick, the America. No. That's cringy stuff. Come on, man. We're free men and women here. So call in on that or call in on the slippery slope thing. If we're standing... We're sitting in this room 20 years ago. Let's imagine we were talking together 20 years ago. We're taking the temperature of society, and we're going to predict where we're going to be. Then again, I think the only thing that puts a hole in that is that in the 90s, how the hell would we ever predict 9/11? What's going on, Max? What do you want to comment on? And then I see Gadget Doc is calling as well. I'll call you right back, Brian.
I just immediately thought about how you were talking about this religious liberty that you need, and then how Gary Johnson, the supposedly libertarian candidate for president, declared that religious freedom was a black hole. And just like, no, it was supposed to be the ultimate Trump card for the Constitution. It was supposed to be like, hey, this is my little religion for me and my family, where it's, you know, we pray to short-barreled machine guns, and you can't tax that, government.
Right.
Wouldn't that be like, or, you know, that one church got away with smoking marijuana for ages before it got legalized in various states.
The smartest thing anybody can do is start a Rastafarian church in the U.S. and smoke weed and dare somebody to arrest. That's a smart. I would join that church.
Precisely, and I think that's where I just like Gary Johnson. He doesn't get it. Obviously, as the libertarian candidate, he's miles ahead of where any of the other ones are, but he's also just such an intellectual lightweight.
Yes. Yes. He says things and he talks. I don't believe in his ability to lead a pack of wild wolves. I need to look at a person who has that animal magnetism as well. Even if it's not the the brain of a philosopher, you know, you don't need a Socrates out there. Just to be able to have common sense, every man common sense, where there's strength there, there's no second guessing yourself. There's a lot of people out there that lead their private lives with just that real steady handedness. And I don't feel like there's any steady handedness. I don't feel like he's got any weight to him. He's, like you said, feather light.
I think the Bastiat quote, I believe it's Bastiat, where he says, the greatest enemy of any philosophy is not to be expertly attacked, but poorly defended. Mm. And that is the problem with Gary Johnson in the Libertarian Party right now, because he folds so quickly and just doesn't have any kind. He has this intuition, but he doesn't have like a compass that keeps him on the libertarian course there.
Right. Right. Now, do you think that he is posturing to try to be a little bit more centrist? Because, you know, listen, anybody who leans libertarian or is into libertarianism and does their homework and actually identifies as one, they would all, I would have to say, collectively agree that if we're going to play the scaling game, he's a better option than the other two by miles, like you said before. But in that same sense, shit, where was I going with this? I was right at the end. I was right at the finish line, Max. I don't know where the fuck I was going with that.
I wanted to know where you're going with that as well.
Where were we starting? Where did we start? Hold on.
Getting on to that, I've met him. I've hosted rallies for him before and stuff like that. And I do like him. He's a great guy. He's a businessman, entrepreneur. He's a avid climber. But he's also kind of just like the Republican who smokes pot that got into the Libertarian Party.
That's it. That's what I wanted to say. He's become, I think, my question to you was, do you think that that his centrism is a ploy right now to appeal to a new base? Because anybody who thinks or wants to vote anywhere near libertarian and values like the integrity of their vote more than the two-party people, they are going to vote libertarian anyway, just to say that they didn't vote Trump or Hillary. So he knows what he's going to command already. But do you think that this is just a centrist ploy and he would be a little bit more classically libertarian if he actually did run the table somehow and win the presidency?
Well, I think his record speaks for it as the governor of New Mexico. Here in Colorado, I mean, for the West, I'm a stone throw away from New Mexico, which is still like an 8-hour drive. But I used to go there and have gone there. He was a great governor. He cut taxes. He balanced the budget. But he still got those kind of, he's like a good Democrat meets a not bad Republican, if that makes sense.
Okay, got you.
And he's milquetoast. He's just like this guy that walked off the street. And honestly, if every politician was like him, it wouldn't be that bad. But the problem is that he's going up against some very ideologically deep sort of opponents. In Hillary Clinton, she obviously changes her policy positions on a whim based on polling, but she has this long-term agenda that if she changes something like her gay marriage thing, like it's not a substantial position when it comes to, say, the economics.
You know what he should be doing? What he should do? Because I see what you're... This is actually a thought spurned off of what you just said. What he should do is do whatever he can to get close enough. What is it, 15% and you can get a third podium?
Mm-hmm.
He needs... And where is he at right now? 12, 13?
Well, I know in Utah, he's actually the ahead of Trump at like 20%. Nationwide polls. Let's look it up.
Because this, while you look at that, my thought is, if he can do anything in his power, and he's definitely doing everything he can right now to at least get on the stage, which I do believe he should be on the stage. In 2012, when we were covering the election on this network, I keep bringing it up. It was the most pathetic thing in the world to me to see the third major candidate who was on the ballot in all 50 states debate his opponents, Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, from a Google Hangout in like a Motel 8 somewhere. He was just streaming live on a laptop debating the two people that he's up against in all 50 states of the union. And it was just really indicative of what the real political system is. If people think that you have any kind of a fucking choice, when that is what's going on, people are trying, scratching and clawing for a seat at the table from a Motel 6 or whatever the fuck it was. He needs to do whatever he can to get on that stage. If he at least gets on that stage and he gets that one first and biggest night to really stick it to Hillary Clinton. Now, I know that he has been very, very forgiving and actually approving of her, saying very positive things of her, but that is because...
And that's the thing I don't get,
because if he's smart and if he really is Emperor Palpatine, like I would be, if he is really Emperor Palpatine and he's playing the long game, then he needs to appeal to Hillary Democratic type of voters who actually probably wouldn't like Hillary, but just do not want to associate with anything that resembles Trump or the Republican Party. And they see Gary Johnson and they say, you know what? I have too much integrity for this nonsense. Let me give it to him. All he needs to do right now is say and do whatever he can to be appealing enough to 15%. And then I hope he sticks a knife in both Trump and Hillary's back.
Well,
when he has real cameras on him, he needs to get on the stage.
If he wanted the real cameras on him, he should be calling Hillary Clinton a skilled public servant. Like, he needs to sound like a Republican when he talks about Democrats and sound like a Democrat when talking about Republicans.
Yes.
Right. He needs to be saying, these Republicans, Donald Trump wants to get rid of the gay marriage. Donald Trump wants to, build the wall. Donald Trump wants to, deport your Ebola or whatever. And then also he needs to get into the Bernie supporters, because this is the ultimate thing that he's missing when he doesn't diss Hillary. Okay. Is that he could get up there and say, I want you Bernie supporters who obviously are not going to vote for Trump because, you're totally down with that multicultural thing. But I want you to realize that Hillary is this establishment. She is the manifestation of what Bernie was fighting against. And if you have any integrity, and you have any of your principles that you're bringing over from the so-called Bernie Sanders revolution, which was really just Occupy Wall Street, drum up the youth vote for the Democrat Party part two, so Bernie Sanders could get his third home.
Seriously.
You would come over to me.
See, so, and Max, that is the reason why I think that, unless he is just a complete doofus and he wants to be known as the third Democrat on the ticket, because that's what we have two Democrats right now, Trump and Hillary. Just one wraps himself up in the American flag. The other one is the most anti-nationalist piece of trash there is. Mm-hmm. And then you have Gary Johnson, who is like the milquetoast run-of-the-mill Democrat, he's sounding like. That's why we say before, why doesn't he attack Hillary? Why doesn't he expose her? You know, be the one that is better than both of them. Really go out there. Don't cozy to one of them. That's why I'm saying that hopefully the only explanation for it is that he's playing some long game where he can make himself look attractive enough to at least have that one shot in front of the television screens on a real debate with the two major candidates, not hidden on a Saturday night on some, like, you know, the C-SPAN 3 channel, you know.
I don't even know about that, because I just think that he's going to get up there and everybody's heard about libertarians. Most people haven't seen one before, right? And I don't know if I want Gary Johnson to be the first time somebody sees a libertarian.
Dude, I was a John McAfee guy. I really was.
Same here. I wanted people to see libertarians as like eccentric billionaires who get drugs.
Yeah, man. That was the Donald Trump we needed.
Yeah. But, you know, getting Gary Johnson, I don't think it's the most positive thing. You know, this one's going to have to... Like I said, I think Bastiat's quote on the most dangerous thing for an idea is for it to be poorly defended. And I think that, you know, just something about Gary's judgment this election cycle. I was totally behind him in 2012. And I remember bringing him to our campus. I mean, of course, Obama comes and he can bring, you know, the whole campus, you know, 15, 20,000 kids out. Because he's already the sitting president. He's a Democrat. Expected. Mitt Romney never showed up. But Gary Johnson came, and we packed. We thought, oh, okay, we'll get a 1,000-person lecture hall. Still, it got totally packed. There were people waiting outside. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And we thought, well, you know, oh, this is a really cool opportunity for us. But then you go back and look at his vice presidential pick was the judge, and I forget the judge's name, but he was an awesome judge. But now he's got Bill Weld. And Bill Weld's talking about how assault weapon bans, and he's just like this.
It doesn't sound good at all. No, it doesn't.
He's just a blue dog Democrat.
You made me realize that my little theory, the possibility is so little. I think he is just a weakling. So there you go. Hey, dude, thank you so much for the call. I want to see what Gadget Doc had to say.
Yeah.
You're the man. Yeah. Thank you for calling in and spending some time with me. I'm very lonely, as you can see. Let's make our way around the room, shall we? Gadget Doc, I have about 1 minute to give you, man. Where are you, buddy? Because I don't think Quarter Life Crisis is going on at 8 o'clock. So I might be able to spill over a little bit. Unless, I don't know if Mike, we're playing a rerun. We'll know. But we'll be back on it. Maybe 9? I think 9 o'clock. Brian, what's going on, man? What was on your mind?
Hey! I was going to say, yeah, the last 20 years, as far as the slippery slope.
You're looking good, man. Your shoulders look nice and defined. You still working out?
Yeah, well, I put it on the back burner because I was working nights. Now I'm getting back into the rotation.
Dude,
so,
this
is
the first time I've seen you with like a t-shirt on, like something form fitting. You look like you've got a good build going on. That's good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, well, you know, go back.
Yeah. Fuck, it's stream of consciousness. So yeah, no, we're not anywhere near the anywhere where we would have been 20 years ago for Slippery Slope because, hey, we haven't corralled everybody. We're not killing people in the street. So it depends on how far you want to go on the Slippery Slope. Do we want to go Alex Jones Slippery Slope? Or do we kind of want to go middle of the road Republican? There's going to be nationalized abortion everywhere. All right. So either way you go, it doesn't feel like we're anywhere near the Slippery Slope as far as what we would have seen 20 years ago. Now, as far as freaking Trump and Clinton, they're both being ridiculous. I find it ironic that Clinton is echoing Trump as far as her policies are right now. Because we're getting hit with her ads down here in North Carolina.
We got her too up here.
Yeah, we're getting it all the time here in North Carolina. And it's basically, yeah, I'm going to stop illegal immigration. I'm going to tax companies that leave the United States, and I'm going to bring back good jobs. And I've heard that for the last 12 months from Trump. Trump just needs to define his speech better, and he needs to get people freaking defending him. Because going back to his last point is a poorly defended campaign isn't going to get anywhere. And one last thing quickly.
He really is a punching – he is taking punches. He is a punching bag right now. He really is. Well, he doesn't help himself, but he really is all alone out on an island by himself. Nobody's coming to his aid.
Yeah, and all these Republicans that are jumping ship and saying, I'm going to support Hillary – they're probably not going to be in politics on the Republican, at least as Republicans, and come the next election cycle.
Yeah, I hope
nobody likes a turncoat.
No, I hope that happens because I'll tell you something. There's a lot of people who voted in states whose senators and House of Representatives, their representatives in the House, they made endorsements and said things and stood to the side and let Trump, a person that was genuinely chosen by many people, those people got to remember who's going to be voting them back into their chairs or not. You know, there might be a whole sweeping. You want to see, we had the Tea Party wave a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
there might be quite a few heads that roll for what they're doing right now to the people's choice.
What they forget is that, yeah, you can attack Trump, but you're also – the people that support Trump take it personal because he's actually voicing something that they feel isn't being articulated, okay? It feels like there's no full-throat defense of, you know, basic, you know, Americanism, if you will. Now, Trump's a little too much of – he does too much talk radio, if you will, for somebody that's going to be a politician. But he's better than the alternative in my case, because Hillary Clinton, you just can't believe anything she says.
Yeah.
One of the things that I found kind of ironic is that Hillary Clinton of 20 years ago, though she was extreme for the time, was far more reasonable and far more libertarian than she is now. So it's check it out on my Twitter, Frank. You'll see it. It's an old Today interview from the 1992 when Bill was running.
I'll check that out.
Go ahead.
No. I that's actually giving me a thought, but I'll let you wrap up.
Yeah, the other thing was, you know, the Libertarian Party is the ECW of politics. Okay, they get a little bit of media buzz, they get a few superstars, but at the end of the day, they're just not going to get anywhere. Same with the Green Party. So you got the Green Party, the Constitutional Party, the Libertarian Party. They're just not going to, especially in this election. Between the two negatives, people are going to pick either from column A or column B. Not because they like what's in column A or column B, but they're more afraid of what comes out of either column.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So that's
I understand. Well, there you go. I guess some people are more happy with status quo than anything else. But thanks for the call, brother.
All right. What was your thought? I just was kind of curious.
I'm gonna try to roll it together right now. It's one of those things I just gotta chip away at, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to say the Yankees are starting to look good. So I'm thinking that they might actually have a wild card chance come the end of the season.
I'm just loving. I honestly, I don't care if we get to the playoffs or not. Although it would be awesome, because I'm loving what these young kids are doing. Just bring everybody up and let the kids run wild. I think they made all the right dump trades. I think it was great what's going on right now. The Yankees needed this. Good flushing.
Yeah, and the Orioles are doing phenomenal this season too, so you know I'm happy about that.
Well, I'm a Buck Showalter fan, so I hope you guys do well.
All right, I'll talk to you later, Frank.
All right, take care, brother. Do well until you play the Yankees, you son of a bitch. Okay, so my thought. So think about that. When people say I'm afraid of person A. I'll take person A, Hillary Clinton, over person B, Donald Trump, because Donald Trump says things honestly. It may not be your truth, and you may not like what he has to say, but can we really address the fact that he's speaking honestly? This is the person that's trying to be honest. Okay? And Hillary Clinton is a liar. Everything she says is a lie. We all know it. Most Democrat voters acknowledge it, that she's a liar. She's not trustworthy. But because she never breaks character, and because she always has that cat to eighth cream smile on her face, people are better off with a mask than somebody who has taken a mask off. Isn't that weird? That people are afraid of honesty. Because if you examine policy, you understand very quickly that Donald Trump is, you know, very progressive. And if you weren't so biased or turned off in some way, however the hell you got there, you might say, well, it's common sense. But it's a lot of Facebook statusing. It's a lot of hanging out in comment sections on tabloid articles around the internet. That it's that too. Examine it. It's a progressive platform. You'd actually be pretty happy with it. And if you're a business owner, God damn, how are you not wanting this? But I don't know. That's very odd to me. Like I said, I'm not... push comes to shove, I don't know. I'll probably vote Trump. But like I said, I have that cop-out option from New York, because it's not going to go red, the state. It doesn't matter. I can just go home and not do anything. In either case... That's it. That's it for me. So rest on that. That's where we'll go. We'll kind of go our separate ways. Think about that. That people are more afraid of honesty. Now, of course, they'll use all the isms and phobias and all that shit. But most of those can be debunked. Honestly, most of them can. And I'm not defending anything else, but just trying to be honest here. Definitely, it wouldn't have been my pick. He wasn't even my fourth pick. But for Christ's sake, all this shit has been drummed. People are out of their minds. Don't be out of your minds, everybody. Think about what Gadget Duck said. Slippery slope things really haven't had that much of an effect. So all my worrying was unfounded, see? So just chill out. We'll be back together tomorrow night. We'll talk about what else is going on. And also, I saw that somebody else had contributed to the Patreon. I think it was Mintz. And let me tell you right now, because I want to shout you out properly. so thank you. Thankful for all this. I created a Patreon for the show so I can send something to businesses who might be interested in, you know, supporting the show. Told you guys about that. But also there's the option for you guys and gals who enjoy what I'm doing here, who like being a part of it, and may just want to contribute to it. I'm actually just happy with $1. A dollar a month pledge, that is, I just want to see patrons go up, to see people who are part of the community. $1 would be awesome. And to see this coming from Patreon, Mintz pledge $17.76 again. What is this with this very symbolic pledge that Moonlit Altar did too? Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much. So, there you go. My two bosses. Thank you so much, Mintz. Mad Mintz in the chat. You're the man. Call into a show sometime. Love to have you on. Okay, guys. See you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Be well. Take care of yourselves and all that good stuff.